Hello, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to episode 114 of the Guardian Hub podcast. We talk Destiny and our love of the game. Your hosts, as always, are me, Sin, and Des Raven. We are short Kingsley tonight. He is feeling a little under the weather. So hopefully our brother-in-arms will feel a little bit better here soon. But how are you doing, Des?
I am doing fantastical magical.
I like how you throw the magical in there.
All right.
So what's been new this week for you? Anything exciting?
I had a three-day weekend. That was nice.
Oh, me too for once. Me too. Right. I'm not sure. I haven't been really sure what you all have been like raving about this 3-day weekend, because I've always been working on holidays and Saturdays, and usually only get one day off in a row. But it was nice. It didn't seem real at first, but now that I've experienced it, wow!
Right. Right. The liberation of one extra day off.
Exactly. And for me, having 2 days off in a row for the weekend is just nice in itself. And then that was the icing on the cake. Man, what else? What else been new? What have you been doing in the game?
Oh, God, what have I been doing? I've been repeatedly bashing my head against Vault a little bit more, so that's always fun. So, yeah, I mean, that's... Oh, God. What is Nuke Sponge? Is it Expunge?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? Expunge?
Yes, I don't know the exact name.
Right.
I think they actually have a like a sub-name to them, don't they?
They do, because last week was Labyrinth. This week, it's on the moon, is Styx.
Interesting. So that's interesting. I didn't realize this, but both of them are actually still on the directors. Tangled Shore is still up. This one is called Styx. That's interesting. I thought I might have had to wait an extra week to get that done for the 10-minute challenge, but it looks like I don't. I can go into that at any time and knock that out.
That's very interesting, because it's... Yeah, because, I mean, it. The way they worded it almost would lead you to believe that they were on a rotation. I mean, like a presage or harbinger or something, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it's up in both spots, so...
Yeah. So that's interesting. And a bit of a mythology lore. Styx is the river in Greek mythology that the ferryman Charon takes you across. That's where he picks you up, is the river Styx, to take you to your final resting place.
Nice. I didn't know that. I know Styx is a band.
Yes, and a band.
I wonder if Gator will do a song pick for, like, in memoriam to that name for that this week.
I'd be disappointed if somebody didn't.
Exactly. So you've been banging your head against the Vault of Glass?
A little bit.
Is it the callouts or something else?
I don't know, just kind of, I guess, still figuring out the flow of Atheon, I guess. Which, I mean, it hasn't changed too much, but just, I mean, I think since last recording, we had a raid group with two new people, which I forgot how nightmarish could be, because Deepstone kind of spoiled us. Like, with everything so compact and compartmentalized, it's just very,
So would you compare the new Vogue, kind of like to Crown of Sorrow, kind of how it was a little bit more, everybody had to be a little more involved?
A little bit. I mean, it's definitely still more compartmental. Like, as we're learning more, because just our last run that we did, like, yesterday, we were starting to kind of go chaos on oracles. Without actually having to structure that encounter. So we're getting there, and it's, which I don't know, yeah, because Crown at the end, you could kind of flow into. So, I don't know. I don't know, it still doesn't seem quite as hardcore as Crown of Sorrow was.
Right.
In my opinion. Like, Crown of Sorrow was just balls to the walls hectic. Like, whether you knew it or not, chances of something was going to go wrong.
Exactly. Now, we also did a Garden of Salvation run that you joined in on, and I think that was last night as well.
Yes, 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 it was.
That was fun. We went back and did the All Solar Challenge.
Yep.
Thanks to Ninja Muffin for using some Void in the middle of one encounter. But as we did it, Kingsley said at the end, it's okay to switch over even after the boss drops. It's just before you pick up the chest, I guess, is when it counts. But I ended up switching. I ran Void that last encounter and switched over the last damage phase. And then when I did, my bubble went away.
Yeah.
But that was fun getting to go back and to experience that. I also got to run the Styx mission. Definitely a little more intense this week with Styx versus the prior week. You had a lot more involvement prior to the boss phases, it seems. I want to say they introduced a new mechanic with the ball running.
Yes, yes. That was actually, yes.
So yes. I'm wondering, kind of how like they structure raids where they build up, you know, you build up on every encounter, you kind of use stuff from prior encounters to build up how the last encounter is going to work, or something to that effect. I'm wondering if they're going to do that with the expunge missions, maybe on harder difficulties, that mechanic is going to build up to something a little bit more difficult.
I mean, it's potential. And for those that may not realize, when you pick up a ball in Styx, those like that data traces, I guess you would call them, they're floating in midair once you pick up the ball.
Yeah, it kind of looks like glimmer floating, like little glimmer cubes almost.
Yeah, because if you pass over it, you'll notice that a ring appears on the floor, and it kind of serves as a checkpoint if you lose the ball. Now, what I didn't realize until basically I was carrying the last ball, it's like I picked up on the checkpoint part of it, but what I didn't realize until, again, the last ball I was carrying, you can stop in those circles and rebuild time on the ball.
That's interesting. I thought it only extended at a certain amount. I didn't know you could actually sit there for a second and build up the time.
Yeah, you can take it all the way back up to 10 seconds, and it will just hover at 10 seconds while you just... I mean, for the last one, it's a little harrowing because, of course, they put like a bunch of enemies in the way.
Right.
But, yeah, you can just chill out on the circles and build up time so you can actually like comfortably go through. Instead of doing like me and sprinting like a madman and just doubling back to the last checkpoint whenever you could make it.
Right. I actually ran that with Kingsley, and that's kind of what we were doing this one. And maybe it was the second to last one or the last one. I've only run it once so far. But you start way in the back, and then you got to run it all the way up through. And then, like, you sprint, you don't run over them, you lose the ball, and it goes back, and it's like... Well, we're doing something wrong, but we figured out that you go through those crystals, but I don't think any of us figured out that you could stop there. Maybe he did. If he was here, he could tell me, but I'm going to assume he didn't, because we just used them as checkpoints, and I knew they extended time, but I didn't know that you could actually sit there and charge it. So,
yeah.
Fun fact for everybody.
I know, right? Where you know?
Momentum control. I have played a little bit of that today. I'd like to say momentum control is a hot mess. It's definitely not what it used to be. Before, it was a lot of scout rifles, your Jade Rabbits and other scout rifles. That was kind of the meta, what, in one of the prior seasons. Now, it's trace rifles. I've seen Wave Splitter, Prometheus Lens, all over the place.
That's because people realize, right, here's the thing about momentum control. Like, all of your weapon damage is, like, amped. All of it.
Right.
So everything that's good is better. And, yeah, most trace rifles are good. So yeah, I mean, good lord, Dead Man's Tale can two tap in momentum control. It's nuts.
Yeah, that is insane.
Of course, but then again, it is also a scout rifle, so that's fair. Right. But yeah, it's like absolutely nuts when you have something that can fire as fast as Dead Man's, just tap, tap, dead.
So you would almost say, it's the late show.
It's something. It's like I said, it is a hot mess, but for me, it's like mayhem. It's the hot mess you're prepared for. Because well, you know for a fact, you're going into momentum control. You can't take it seriously.
Well, one bad thing is I was like, yep, I'm going to probably get my Jade Catalyst finally done. You know, it'll probably be an easier time. I did started it one of the last momentum controls when it was around and never got it finished. And I'm about half, a little less than halfway there. About halfway. 127 out of 250. But it is rough, especially when you're going up against the trace rifles. It's they laser point that and just hold it on the entire time. As they're coming around corners, they're jumping up over top, getting you with it.
I actually finished the last Salvager Salvo ornament just a couple days ago.
Nice.
And that thing is fun in momentum control.
I haven't tried it yet. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was trading with a lot of trace rifles.
I think I still need to do the Vanguard one. I think that's the last one that I have to do.
Well, before this season, I wasn't really all that comfortable with grenade launchers, but thanks to Breach and Clear, I'm starting to kind of pick up the pieces.
Yeah. Now, is that, I know a lot of people use that in PvE, but is that really effective in PvP?
Probably not. It probably doesn't even activate in PvP. If it does, it's stupid because it's 30% extra damage, I mean.
Right.
That would be stupid. Not unheard of, but stupid.
Hmm. Man, what else have we been doing this week? It's a light week other than that, other than raiding.
It's a pretty light week. Definitely some people pushing on to go through to get raid through. Yeah.
Awesome. We also had a TWAP today and some patch notes that came in for some much needed changes. I say much needed. Like, I attempted some of these cheeses that were fixed. I'll let you get into that. but it's definitely tough. You have to be on point. You got to use, you know, you got to use all the tools, like when you were using these cheeses during Atheon. I know Helios and Mojafo, when I've run with them and they use the cheeses, they were able to hold it down inside the past and present, or past and future, I should say. But I've tried it, and it is definitely it's tougher than it seems. Put it to you that way.
It's a different, like, it's definitely more laid back though, because I mean you're not having to worry about relic juggling and timer juggling,
right?
But because yeah, actually, just the last raid we were running, we actually ended up doing both cheeses, so that way we could pretty much guarantee we could finish in time for the garden raid.
Right.
Now
it's interesting, you use the cheeses, and one of our Discord bots had a little thing next to it that said DNF.
Yes,
so it counts but it doesn't.
Exactly, like killing Atheon that way, it technically counts as a clear, but it kind of doesn't, because yeah, I mean, I guess the game just doesn't really know what to do, because you do get the clear, or did get the clear, because you got Atheon loot. Like, somebody in the group has gotten Vex Mythoclast using the cheese.
Right.
I mean, it drops the loot, but, because I think the very first time we did the cheese, we had some people dead, and even though the encounter cleared, the wipe mechanic timer for someone being dead was still going. And then we wiped. And if you do wipe, starts you back at the Atheon checkpoint.
Interesting. So you get to clear, but have the checkpoint.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's this weird, like, middle ground, because, again, Charlemagne and the bots doesn't count it as a clear, it's a DNF. But, like I said, you get the loot, you can buy the caches, but, yeah, and you can even, well, now that it's not a thing anymore, you can actually get the, or could have gotten the Atheon Triumph that way, because that's how I got the Atheon Triumph, where you don't let supplicants explode, or don't kill supplicants, or something.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes, that's the thing. And if you ever cheated it, you got that triumph.
Oh, well, maybe I should have cheesed it.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a really weird thing, because for whatever reason, like, I'll, you know, since it's not there, I guess I can explain it a little, but for whatever reason, Atheon, just before the encounter starts, he's just chilling on Venus. Or the future?
Future something?
I think that's future side. He's just chilling on Venus, though. He's just standing there. And he has no damage immunity while he was just standing there. I mean, sure, the encounter wasn't going, but I can't understand why that he's just chilling there instead of, you know, somewhere we can't. I mean, to be fair, we're not supposed to be able to go there, but if you, using the death respawn mechanic, you can find your way back to Venus from the gatekeeper encounter if you ever went to the right side. So, yeah, you can weasel your way back in there. You can have a couple people shooting at him. He can die there. But if you kill him pre-encounter, nothing happens. But if you start the encounter, well, the boss is dead. So you start the encounter, and then the encounter finishes. And I think, like I said, I think that's where the haywire goes in, because technically the encounter doesn't start because the boss isn't summonable, but the boss is already dead, so the encounter is cleared. So it's an interesting, like, logic loop that creates. Or at least it's interesting to me.
Well, I kind of wish that I knew there was a triumph associated. So it's, you can't let supplicants explode. So you basically have to either kill them or let them linger.
Well, I think the triumph specifically says not to kill supplicants. I think you can let them explode, but I haven't looked into that triumph like enough. Mm. So I have no real idea.
Well, interesting.
But yeah. Because I think I have most of the side triumphs other than, like, you know, the subclass ones. I think the only thing we didn't get down... Oh, what did we use? It was the gatekeeper one, I believe. That was killing... Oh, no, yeah, we couldn't do gatekeeper. Gatekeeper triumph is a little rough, because you can only kill the shielded minotaurs with the relic super.
Shielded minotaurs with relic.
And it has to specifically be the relic super. So that's... trying to work out getting the relic to get super fast enough while still maintaining pace and passing the relic is nightmarish.
Yeah.
So we ended up skipping that one, but getting most of the other ones.
I should have been playing on your team for that. I missed out, because now we're going to have to go back and do them legit.
Yeah, I know, right? That's going to be rough. But yeah, we have progressed pretty far. I now have a Bitter Pearl, aka Chatterwhite 1.5.
Oh, the one for all the collectibles.
Yes.
I got that, and I actually equipped it on warlock stuff.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm like putting it on everything, like 100% everything right now. Yeah, because Chatterwhite had a special place in my heart. This is like 90% Chatterwhite. There's some slight color differences that may or may not exist between D1 and D2, but it's very slight.
Do you want to go over the changes that they made for the patch notes?
Patch notes, because we had a patch. And we had... what do they call this one? The one about stasis? I think it was the subtitle.
I think so.
I have it up. Yes, the one about stasis, as I reload, because I had it and then didn't have it. Anyhow. They've done some Lost Sector stuff. Because apparently you can skip a bunch of Scavenger's Den on the EDZ. So then now they added an energy barrier, so you can't do that anymore. Fantastic. Empty Tank now will now correctly award legs, I believe. Well, either way, it will reward the correct exotic gear.
Not the fake stuff that it was doing.
Exactly, because it ended up being like a leg day, but it was giving people chest pieces. That's supposedly fixed. Say supposedly, but just you wait. See, Vault of Glass armor mods will actually appear in the collections tab now. Yay! So now you can see, you know.
I actually okay, had an issue.
Right. I mean, I noticed, but there's some weirdness going on with those mods. Now here's a bug I didn't know existed, and I kind of wish I did, because I would totally try this, but apparently you could kill Atheon by tethering supplicants as they self-destruct.
I did see that. I don't know how anybody would have done that or noticed that.
Right? Like,
who runs tether anymore?
Especially when you have Breach and Clear. let's see. Fixed an issue where players could kill Atheon in future Venus Portal before starting the encounter. Ah, shucks. I wonder what they did. I'm like, I'm tempted to try that cheese again just to see if, like, A, they stopped you from being able to go back to Venus, or if they added, like, damage immunity to him. So yeah, it's interesting. Oh yeah, this one's the fun one. Fixed an issue where players could break Minotaur shields in the Gatekeeper encounter by using Prometheus Lens.
Now, that wasn't the only weapon that could do that. I actually saw one where you could use heavy weapon.
Huh. That's weird.
One that shoots a little spider things around.
Colony?
Yes.
Hmm.
Apparently, if you it's got up close enough with them and shot them with a colony, like, point blank, it would break the shield.
That might not be breaking the shield, but spawning the projectile inside the shield.
Would be. So I didn't see them mutate that, so I'm wondering if that would still work.
I mean, potentially. And they fixed an issue where Aegis Relic blocking ability was not continuously blocking damage. Yay, we can actually do Atheon a little more appropriately. That's fantastic. Gameplay investment. Starter scales. The hot topic among hunters. which, I guess the biggest question is, does it suck now? I'm kind of glad to say not quite. Because, of course, they have apparently actually fixed it this time. It now shows your appropriate amount of stacks. Max bonus is at 8 stacks still. And they fixed the calculating bonus damage. Now, the thing is, Yeah, just before this fix, every orb was giving you an 11%, roughly, damage boost. So at max 8 stacks, you can get up to 90% extra damage for its busted state. But before that, it was a 60% damage boost at 4 stacks. So now, a grand total of 8 stacks will now cap out at a 70% bonus. So more than what we had, and less than broken. I kind of figure this will make it a somewhat usable option still. But still, you have to weigh out like the risk rewards, because you know, you die, you lose your stacks, and there goes all your bonus damage. So it's going to be interesting to see where it lays. But I still think it might still be a decent choice, just not quite as maze balls,
not as easy to obtain. Gives a little more work involved.
Exactly. I mean, and it's basically just the 8 stacks. I kind of wish it was maybe 6 stacks instead of doubling the stacks, but that's neither here nor there, and who knows? Maybe it gets adjusted in the future, requiring a little less stacks. Because I definitely agree, more than 4 might be required, you know, to give it that risk-reward feel. It's just 8 seems like a lot. But that's me. Let's see, they fixed a whisper ornament. Because apparently certain geometry would disappear when walking against walls. Who uses Whisper?
I don't even know if I have that ornament anyway.
I know, right? Oh, and so if we're worth the worm.
It's kind of a shame that it was once a viable option that now you very rarely see it.
I mean, there's just a lot more. There's just a lot of better like burst damage options. And sad. Whisper needs a buff. Give it some damage. let's see. They fixed an issue where projectile melee ability kills were not counting towards progress for step 4 of the Iron-Handed Diplomacy quest. So that's the thing. Let's see. And then, of course, the bunches of stasis freezes, which we kind of went over. And by kind of, I mean I pretty much went over in pretty good detail. So, yeah. Those are in effect now, so good luck.
Yeah, they did make quite a bit of change there.
I mean, it's a lot of changes, and as far as I can tell, that's a lot of fair changes, too, so.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I also haven't went into normal Crucible, so. Oh, God, and I actually unlocked the new aspect for Hunters. Which, for us, changes how grenades work. And, like, for the glacial wall grenade, when you throw it, instead of coming up as a wall, it makes a box around the target. You want to talk about something so good with Shatterdive. Anyway. Oh. Nice. See, and then last but not least. Seasonal reward sources, including locked override chests and the weekly vendor challenge, now correctly contain seasonal class armor items and have been updated to reduce the frequency of getting duplicate items in succession. The Iron Banner machine gun and shotgun will now drop from Iron Banner engrams. Hooray. The Vault of Glass Director tooltip will retain its pinnacle drop notification for classes that have not yet cleared it each week, as drops will still be available. I kind of like that quality of life change myself. That's going to be pretty cool. Vault of Glass secret chests are now probably dropping Titan and Warlock armor. That would explain why my Titan and Warlock always got weapons. Vault of Glass vendor purchase of... Okay, this is all like the cash stuff, and it's dropping appropriate things now and working properly, apparently. So I'm not going to go through each one of those in detail, but yeah, apparently the caches at the end of the raid are working as intended. Hopefully.
Nice. Side note from Drafty, he says, Sin, get good. I should say, get good, you scrub. Awesome, Drafty. I hear you. Hopefully you had a awesome prophecy run. I was going to mention something. Yes, so I'm sure Two Titans and a Hunter will cover it, but I just got something that popped across my YouTube feed earlier, that the Titan Behemoth, like you can like Behemoth skate almost, or the mobility on it inside the Super, and they were showing videos on it, even after the changes, it's still pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like Titan skating. As much as they tried to kill it, it's still kind of there.
I guess you could say that in one form or another.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely nowhere near as effective as it once was, but it's still there.
And that pretty much summed up the patch notes. And
yeah, that's the patch notes. This week at Bungie is pretty light. We have Banner coming up. Apparently it's going to be Sniper Everything.
Did you say Sniper Everything?
I was going to list it off, but I realized there were four weapons, and that's everything, as far as I know. Shotgun, hand cannon, MG, sniper. Sounds like everything to me.
One of each.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway.
A fashion game.
So, oh yeah, and of course there is a fashion contest, which I believe you directed at Bungie's Twitter, perhaps?
I'm sure they usually do it via Twitter. I've never submitted one personally to those, have you?
Yeah, Twitter or Instagram with hashtag splice hashtag splicer fashion show to enter. So yes, it is on social media. I have not entered one of those because I am not creative.
I might just throw something up there just because I want an emblem.
I mean, that's fair. Because, I mean, good lord, the make your own look hunter arrangement, I could... Oof. I mean, that's a rough one right there. That's like Crayola just... But anyway, one thing that I am reminded of, though, that is the header for the TWAB this week, we got an awesome cutscene in our seasonal stuff this week.
Oh, yes, with Lakshmi.
Well, sort of. Now, I love the fact, like, this particular cutscene of Mithrax recounting the horror story that is the Elixni boogeyman that they call the Saint. Yeah, that was an incredible freaking like cinematic. I watched it first on YouTube, like when the season came out. So I've known about this for a little while. But I didn't realize, because it was just the cinematic, I didn't realize that Mithrax was telling this story to Saint 14.
Well, I wonder if, does Saint remember that? Because he's never...
for sure.
Because he, it had to have happened while he was a guardian, so...
Yeah, 100%, because, again, the moment that Saint was lost in time was after his crusade against the Fallen. Like, his, like, and most of what made him famous was his crusade against the Fallen. I mean, he had, as Mithrax recounts, he basically had a murder boner for the Fallen. I mean, he hunted them down with conviction. And I like give massive props to our writers this or the writers this season, because all we heard about for so long is how great of a warrior, how great of a hero that Saint 14 was. But now we see the other side of the coin, and it kind of gives me the creeps, man. I'm not going to lie.
It's just like anything. You once you hear the other perspective or the other side of the story, you know, other, you know, I guess it's very similar to any war.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, real life or in the story, you know, once you see it from the other side, you see that, you know, they see it a different way. He was more exactly. of the one terrorizing, as you put it up front, exactly. the boogeyman.
Yeah. Like, I mean, oh, and they did such a job. Like, good job. Ugh, I can't speak right now. But they did such a good job, like, recounting him as a boogeyman, as a monster. Like, carrying you, kicking and screaming into that accursed dome where no one made it out alive. It's like, oh. Oh. Who said a defender's couldn't be scary?
They can be.
Yes. I mean, again, every guardian also has to learn, don't mess with a defender inside his bubble. It's usually not a good idea. but yeah, that, I mean, just the entire thing, and yes, Truth Lives, it is a sick cutscene, and I do love it. I love the storytelling, because again, like you said, Lakshmi, like, we get to hear her hate speech, and I'm most definitely going to say it's not going to be popular, and people might look at me weird when I say this, but I'm about willing to bet that you can find similarities in the speeches that Lakshmi is giving to some of the speeches that Hitler gave.
That's a little ominous.
I mean, this entire, like, because knowing about a lot of, like, this, because I read through some data, like, some text log dumps, and, like, a lot of this I kind of got clued in on. But, like, yeah, listening to, like, Lakshmi's side of it, I mean, it's kind of like, and I'm not, also not really talking about, you know, the Hitler that, you know, like in the middle of the war guy, but more so the guy that was climbing the ranks to get elected into that position. Because I'm pretty sure he got elected, right? That bit of my memory is failing.
I'm not very good with history, so.
I know, right? Like, that bit of my memory is failing. But a lot of, like, his speeches that put him into power, like, regardless of how he got there, they were involving, you know, outsiders, you know? He was, like, demonizing the Jews. He was demonizing gypsies. He was, you know, demonizing everything that wasn't native German. So, okay, so Truth Lives says he stole the leadership. So thank you for that very quick correction. But again, either way, however he got into power, like, those were his speeches, though. And like I said, I see a huge, personally, I see a lot of at least parallels in how Lakshmi is talking to the civilians. Because again, we know, or at least we hope we know, how these Elixni are. You know, is House Light actually on the up and up? And are they different? And if they are, then yeah, Lakshmi is just... gosh, he's not very nice.
Very straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, she says herself she's terse, and Yeah, she is. But she's also like circle jerking us, and isn't that very nice? Because, you know, she's sitting there telling us, it's like, yeah, we don't want them to be there to be any hard feelings. We just don't want them here. And then you listen to her speech, it's like, yes, and, you know, they're taking stasis that corrupted the Fallen, and the Fallen are doing this. And it's like, wait a minute. You're kind of jerking us around, and I don't appreciate that. This is such a good season for like story and stuff and story and dialogue, and I'm like so stoked to like I'm just so stoked to like get new like recordings and crap and like hear how it all goes down. Because again, having listened to the data or read the data dumps, I kind of know how it ends, but we're in store for a bunch. We're in store for a bunch. Like, this roller coaster ain't over yet. Strap yourselves in.
Oh, man. And we got a, I don't think you mentioned it, but we got a teaser at the end of the TWAB also.
Yes, I hadn't gotten that far yet.
Okay. I'll let you continue then.
Oh, no, I was about to say, because again, I had to go back to the top, because again, like, seeing that header reminded me of that, and I definitely wanted to talk about that, because I cannot...
Fair enough.
Say what you want, whether I'm like, you know, over glorifying the writers this season. I don't care. I'll over glorify the writers this season. I will.
I mean, honestly, they have done a really good job.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying I might perform certain services to these writers that might go on another particular hub. Just saying. But yes, at the bottom of the TWAB, there's of course always some really good art. I actually really love that they are... Okay, one of it is really good art. so there's that. But yeah, I really love the fact that they're starting to focus on artists. But speaking of art, we got a teaser. We got a nice little teaser image of the Witch Queen. Bum, bum, bum.
And that armor. Looks like Hunter?
Yeah, potentially. We had some people in our Discord posting some early concept art of what looks like that same armor. That definitely seems to be the Hunter set. Which is looking... so good and like different, and of course that was probably in the Destiny spoilers, so there's that. Which definitely careful where you tread in the Destiny spoiler section of our Discord. We will talk about practically anything.
There may be things you don't want to see.
Exactly. So definitely be careful. You might want to peek in for some light spoilers, and we might be in like some heavy spoiler territory. But to be fair, a lot of what I know, like the data dump stuff, I know how the season is going to end. I don't talk about it to anybody, which also kind of sucks. But anyway,
so how do you you know how it's going to end based on spoiler stuff that you've read, like Reddit or okay?
Let's just say if you look in like Raid Secrets for long enough, you can find. You can basically find data mined subtitles to cutscenes and missions and for the entire season, basically. So you can read everything that's going to happen. There, like I said, I'm not suggesting you do it, but there are places to find all of that information. Which, like I said,
let's say I'm curious. You could give us a little... I guess we shouldn't say it on air.
I could give you a lot of information. I can give you a lot of theories that, like, a lot of the Raid Seekers people are, like, really behind because of other spoilery, like, super spoilery information of potentially leaked information that raid secrets can't even decide if they want to confirm or deny.
Can neither they can't confirm quite nor deny.
Exactly. So I mean, it's like very, very interesting. But anyway, very interestingly though, in this teaser, and reason why I mentioned Destiny spoilers, because at this point in time, is I guess it's not really a spoiler. It was just an interesting conversation that spawned out of something. This background that they're using, I mean, could look very like EDZ, potentially. Because the background isn't very well focused, right? Because, of course, the main focal point is the armor, and that's fair. But yeah, this background, though, looks a lot like some old D1 concept art of old Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah, old Chicago. Which, according to this concept art, is mostly swampland. Which looks like sick and twisted, because again, you have basically the surviving like skyscrapers of Chicago just in this marsh, like bogland, and oof. But yeah, it looks very, like I said, it could be EDZ, but it does kind of also look reminiscent to that old D1 concept art. So, yeah. There is that.
Yeah, I would definitely say the EDZ on that one. Because that's the only that's the only place that really would look like that out of all the other planets.
I mean, yeah. Because, like I said, we do... Yeah. We do definitely see similar overall architecture in, like, Widow's Court or Widow's Peak. Widow's Court? Widow's Court or Peak. Crap. I can't remember what that map is called. Anyway, it's one of those. The EDZ map. Duh. But yeah, so there is that. Yeah, that's if you want to spoil the story. That's very true. Truth lives. And I don't really want to spoil the story because actually it doesn't really matter because again, I was super stoked to see that cutscene and see how it plays out. So I'm knowing the end, I'm still like super excited to get to the end and like see it all play out. It's going to be very nice.
Yeah, it's one spoiler. The season will end. We all
know that. For sure. Yeah. The season will end. It will end, what, a month later than... Was it a month, or was it like 2 or 3 weeks? I can't remember now.
Honestly, I can't even remember the timeline.
Exactly.
We got a little while to go. We know it's going to end.
But of course, Bungie could still swerve us by going, hey, this season's going for an extra month.
As they delay for this Witch Queen picture here.
I mean... All I'm happy about is the fact that they have the capability of delaying now.
Yeah.
Like, they can actually, like, postpone things. They can delay things. It's going to make for awful, awful, like, long seasons. But at the same time, Beyond Light was great, I feel.
Plus, who cares?
It had some, yeah. Like, it had some great, like, story points. Like, campaign felt pretty good. It definitely felt like an expansion. Like, it definitely felt as about nearly as involved as, like, Taken King did for D1 to me. Like, Forsaken was close, but I feel like Beyond Light did it better. Of course, then again, it's been a while since I've played Forsaken, and, well, can't quite recreate that right now, so. But as long as they take their time to get this stuff right, I'm all good.
Which I'm sure they will.
Oh, for sure. And they have that capability, and it's awesome. So I'm like A-okay with some delays, even though when it gets closer and we actually have to have extended seasons, everyone's going to be a little less okay.
Going to be itching for the new stuff. Exactly. I'm sure that's we're all going to be in that same boat when that time comes. But, I mean, at the end of the day, who cares? It extends the longevity of Destiny 2 in general, because if there is going to be an end point to it at some point, we're just delaying it by having more time with the content that's already here, and then more content in general. And I think I talked a little bit earlier, you know, it'd be nice if they eventually just had all of the content in one accessible game, you know, kind of like the WoWs or like the ESOs, where there's like these huge worlds. Well, a lot of content. But I know they said in the past, and Kingsley was like, checked me on that one, as I like to say, he checked me, that they already said they're probably not going to do it. They're going to kind of cycle it in and out, just because the overall, the game complexity and, you know, the size of the file or the size of the data, basically, but it would be nice.
Well, that's true, but that was also before our current generation of console hardware. Now, perhaps the developers knew before the general public, which I'd be surprised if they didn't know before the general public. So, yeah. I mean, just the fact that consoles are coming with solid-state drives rather than your classic disk-based drive is going to make a lot of things like a lot more possible than they were before. So at the time, perhaps they were still set in that, but I do feel that could potentially change. Maybe not in the nearish future, but you know.
A waiting game.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. That is so, awesome. So that was pretty much it for that. I mean, what else do we got on the docket for tonight?
Oh, I've got no idea. I'm like here for the ride, and I go by the seat of my pants, and I talk for way too long.
I think that we covered a lot of ground. You know, without Kingsley, without a guest, let's keep it fairly short. I like to. I don't talk a whole bunch. I try to keep everything short and concise and short and sweet, like a Rice Krispie treat, as I like to say it. But yeah, short twab, short week.
Yeah, and normally I'm that way myself, but again, start talking about this game and I fly off the freaking handles.
When do you not talk? Nice truth. I do talk. I like to talk a lot more when I'm gaming. That's usually when I talk a lot. Or when I'm watching movies while gaming, I should say. I did that on Xbox. I had a buddy stop by. That's one thing that I did do, I think, since we last did a podcast. I had a buddy stop by, had an Xbox raid planned. He ended up just hanging while I was playing, and we had American Pie 1 and American Pie 2 in the background. So I was listening and watching that while we were doing the raid, trying to help some people through.
Nice.
And when it came time to actual focus, sat back and tried to focus and get stuff done. But that was that's always fun to kind of chill and hang like that. Nothing too stressful. Well, man, I think that might even wrap us.
I think so. Because I think that about covers it. Really, I mean, we got another new expunged coming reset before they start repeating. And then 3 more weeks of repeats before our.
Well, again, no repeats because they're still in the director tab.
Well, yeah, but you know, we have another one coming in, but.
Yep. Another one.
Slowly, the harder modes will be coming out.
Right.
For 3 weeks. And again, then our... what could be kind of our season finale? Sort of. I mean... okay, I said I know how it ends, but still the end is kind of confusing. Because I'm not sure if a lot of what happens in the end of the season, quote unquote, happens during this last story mission, or if there might be something else a little further in. Like, that could be the finale. Like, who knows? But either way, It's all going to be very, very fun. It's going to all going to be very, very nice.
Yeah, I'm anticipating it'll be a good season finale.
So yeah, so like I said, this last expunge may not be the end of the story. It might draw out until the epilogue that's on the calendar. But even if it is, I mean, yeah, juicy bits.
And you already have a head start because you said you've got to see some of the mission titles and such.
Oh, yeah.
Or the secrets.
The dialogues, yeah. I know the dialogue. Also, well, and of course, everyone's going nuts about the fact that Sephathun's song is being sung by the people in the city.
No, wait, is it really?
The song that Lakshmi sings, if you speed it up, it actually matches the cadence of Sephathun's song.
That's intriguing.
Or
foreboding. So
yeah. Right. And apparently on the, I think it's the Reese Walker shotgun, there's some Morse code on it. Who was it? I think it was the Batman. In our community, actually, like, decoded it into piano notes. And apparently it is also a Sephathun song.
Really?
Sounds very similar to me. So, I mean, we are getting closer to Witch Queen, so this stuff might be getting more and more heavy-handed as we go.
And don't put it past Bungie to do something like that. Put, like, these little tidbits into the game, really.
Right, right. And it's... Like I said, it's becoming more and more, and I'm definitely down for it.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that elusive 15th wish.
Right. Before that, we need the, what was it, the 7th Vogue chest?
Yeah.
No, wait, is there 7 now? Because we have 4 hidden chests. Gatekeeper is an encounter. Oracles is an encounter. Templar is an encounter. Oh, no, we have 8 Vogue chests now. Dang it.
And I think the Morse code is the future Warcott, the Decide.
That's right. Deicide, yeah.
Again, truth lives for the rescue on that one.
Thank you. Like I knew it was a shotgun, right? Oh, no, it was the Morse code in the lore. That's right. Which, yes, yeah, people were mentioning before that lore had Sephathun's song in it, so, because, it's in the Future War Cult network that Morse code is.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, and it wasn't Morse, it was binary. Again, my bad. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, again, truth. Thank you for the many live saves.
And he was asking me, did I read these books of lore? And I'm like, nope.
Hey, truth, I lore, okay? I lore. I know lore. In fact, just in spoilers, I was correcting people on lore. But, okay, I'm strongest in D1 lore, okay?
Do you even lore, bro?
I'm slacking in my D2 lore. I'll admit that. I'm slacking. But that's what I got Nullsy for. Between me and Nullsy, we've pretty much got the entire franchise of, like, lore down to a T. Because what he's missing from D1, I know, and what I'm missing from the newer stuff, he knows. So, you know, we're kind of yin and yang there.
2 peas in a pod?
Something like that. But yeah, so it's like I said, the more this stuff comes in, definitely the more down I am. And also, I see a lot of people, or I hear, I say a lot, but you're the second person called the Decide. I believe it is Deicide. I'm pretty certain because it is. It would imply the death of a god.
Ah, I do see that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you read it quick, it does look like the side.
Exactly. I mean, it really does, but yeah. And I love the fact that they're giving some of these returning weapons like lore, like meaningful lore at that. Because again, now we know Sabathun Song is in future War Cult networks. So yeah. Good stuff. Yeah,
they do tie it in pretty well. I do give Bungie that. And I do give props to you and everybody else in the lore community that spent the time to go through it, because there's a lot there. I did buy a book, the book one that they released.
Nice.
And I've opened it once to look inside, grab my code for the emblem, and then quickly closed it and haven't opened it since. Nice. That's as far as I've gotten on it, unfortunately. So yeah, mad props to everybody.
Oh, for sure.
Hope the season gets more Lixie. I have to get book two. I don't have book two. I only have book one. We'll see.
I have neither. I definitely have plans eventually to rectify that, because again, my god. Because isn't the second one Fallen? Like centric?
Yeah, he does. Truth does go into mention here that the second one will give you more insight into the Elixir, basically, help with the season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that would make sense if it's more Fallen based.
Yeah, because I do know that book two has does contain like the story of when Cade crossed paths with a Fallen captain while fighting Hive? Balls. Here I go talking about how I know D1 lore, and there's D1 lore. But anyway, they end up fighting back to back, and in the end, they have like the standoff moment where Cade believes the captain, even though they fought together for a common enemy, gave him a reason to shoot and kill them. Anyway, it's like a really heavy lore, so. It's very nice. Oh yeah, technically no, wait, because they did give they gave an ebook version of for some reward of the first one. So I can't say that. I do own the first one in ebook
as
format.
A ebook?
Yeah. I do own the first one. Yeah, for the first one for the Dawning. So yeah, if you did like a Dawning thing, you got a reward turn in to collect the ebook for the first lore book ebook. So I was mistaken, because I do own the first ebook.
Interesting. I wish I had a little more time to read with my busy lifestyle, but that typically isn't the case. Although I will be, I'm actually going to be down in North Carolina starting this weekend. So I'm going to be at the beach somewhere named Corolla. I don't know why why there's a Toyota car town down there, but there is. I'll be down there. I'll be working. So one good thing about working from home, working remote, is that I can work anywhere. Still be working during the day and then spending the time with the family at night, which will be kind of fun. But we'll be down there. It's a little time that I get to spend. I might try to catch up on some reading or some podcasts, because I am a little bit far behind on both.
Right. And you won't be too far from me. I mean, I say too far, but I mean, I'm the state adjacent in South Carolina, so it can still be quite a far way away.
I looked, because Soccer mentioned that he'll be down in the Charlotte area, I guess, over the summer. And Charlotte, from the beach, is still 6 hours.
Yeah, and I'm like, what was it? I think I'm like an hour and a half from Raleigh, which is potentially another hour from Charlotte. So, yeah. And, like, the other direction, potentially. So, yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, based on what I looked at the map, basically this area is just south of Virginia Beach. So it's not much further of a drive. Normally it's a little over 4 hours, I think, to Virginia Beach from where I live. So I think it's about five and a half, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe six, having the kiddos in the car. So oh man. For some reason my other monitor.
Ooh. Ooh. All right, so
back up.
Oh, I got nothing.
I got nothing. Well, you do have something. As we're wrapping up, you forgot. Tell the listeners where they can find you.
Certainly, as usual, as always, you can find me at least lurking in the Discord. You can also approach my Twitter at DES_Raven, where lives the spreadsheet, which is fully updated now, just in case I haven't mentioned that before. And also, as a little surprise, I'll be guest appearing on a podcast, which I say a little surprise, but they've already announced it. I will be on the latest episode of Guardian Ghostcast, so
GG,
which Guardian may or may not be out by the time this episode goes up. Who knows? Either way, keep your eyes open, and I'll be there.
We're going to have to be out first, because I'm not going to try to do this over the drive and the start of my vacation. So it'll be 99% with certainty I will have it ready for Kingsley Macklemore tomorrow.
So yeah.
So you'll probably have it over the weekend.
So, where can we find you?
Oh, they can find me on Twitter, lurking with you. That's Sin Media. And over on Twitter, at Sin_Media. You can also find Kingsley Mack on the Discord. And over on Twitter, at MC Kingsley. And he streams occasionally, a lot of times when he's raiding.
Yeah.
That's all I got. But also you can find our show on Twitter, at The Guardian Hub, and on our amazing website, theguardianhub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Thank you for covering my bit. We made it work. That's all I got. So with that, Guardians, we will see you next week.
Later.
Bye.